This message comes from NPR sponsor Acorn TV. Acorn TV is brilliant television told brilliantly. From charmingly cozy mysteries to daringly dark dramas. Visit acorn.tv for a 30-day free trial with promo code NPR. Acorn TV. Brilliant.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week again from the Tax Preparation Office here at Car Talk Plaza.
This is really getting me a problem. Our staff tax advisor loophole is on our case again. What the hell is
Tell me get a life, will you?
Well, last week, as you all may remember, he was all over us like a cheap suit because you were trying to deduct $5,000 in poker losses under the heading Employee Evaluation Meeting.
It was worth a shot, wasn't it?
How you doing? Good, yeah. And now I have another nasty memo from this guy, Paul. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah, of course.
Dear boys, that would be us, I refer you to Section 1056-42B of the Federal Tax Code. I quote, Line 42C shall consist of only those items specifically excluded from both lines 42B and 39A and not specifically sanctioned for exclusion or deduction on lines 15, 16, 18, or 21 of Form 10-56. Is he crazy?
I got it. I'm with you.
Furthermore, no items on line 42C shall be deemed allowable if the sum total of deductions listed on line 42C shall be equal to or greater. Let me turn the page here. It's a long memo.
Jeez.
Then the sum of lines 38 and 39, or the hypotenuse of the triangle, formed when you connect the end of lines 39 and 40 to the signature box, whichever is greater.
What does it mean, man? What does it mean?
It means, Raymond, you cannot deduct Chinese food as a language skill enhancement.
Oh, I was afraid of this.
He goes on, I also have serious questions about the following items you intend to include on your 1995 returns. The renovation of Tom's master bathroom under the heading Home Office Deduction. He's in his office as a euphemism and not allowable under Section
6. I told you, man.
Every time you call me, what does my wife say? He's in his office.
And I call the other number and I get the machine. No, he's in his other office.
Okay, Raymond's deduction of his video rentals. Please note, Ray, that the interest line is for interest paid to you, not for money you spent on your interests.
A little slight misinterpretation.
Tom, 25 boxes of Romeo and Juliet Cubano cigars will probably not slide by as business creativity tools. Hey, if it works. And Raymond, that $2,500 charitable contribution to Vista sounded good until I realized it was not volunteers in service to America, VISTA, but your Dodge Colt Vista, disallowed. I'll get back to you again as soon as I've had a chance to review the rest of your return. Sincerely yours, Lou Pohl, tax advisor.
Oh, I knew he was going to be a pain in the butt. We got to get rid of him,
Get rid of him. Who the heck?
Well, let's take a call. I can't deal with all this right now. We have to talk about cars.
All right, 1-800-332-9287 is the number. Give us a jingle.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Penny from San Diego, California.
Hi, Penny.
Is that Penny with an I?
No, Penny with a Y. Very conservative.
Yes,
from San Diego.
Certainly are.
Sometimes I tell people Penelope, but it's really not.
Oh, it's not. It's really
it's
Penny.
It's Penny.
So, Penny.
I have a kind of a capricious problem with my 1988 Volvo wagon.
Really?
Ooh.
Yes. That I bought last year from my ex-husband's
What kind of Volvo is this?
This is a 740, 240.
Oh, 240 wagon.
240 DL
Yeah,
wagon.
Your workhorse wagon.
Yeah.
When I got the car from her.
Who's her?
Oh, I got it from my ex-husband's wife, his current wife. Okay. This is California.
Yes, you had to remind us.
Were you wife number one or two?
No, I was number two.
You were number two, so you got it from number three.
She's number three.
Right.
Oh, won't mention her name. We'll keep her name.
Wife number two gets it from wife number three.
Wife number one in this loop? Is she in it?
Oh, she's gone. She's in Northern California, and she's changed her name.
Right. She's probably married to wife number four.
No, she's just getting a divorce from husband number two.
Husband number two.
Okay. This is all very interesting. This is what California's all about, huh?
Wow.
I suppose.
All right. So you got this white. You got this wife
so
number
this
three's
Volvo
car.
Wagon, and I trusted because she had all the records. I took a friend over. Mm-hmm. I met her. She seemed like a nice person. I mean, after all. And I talk to my ex-husband regularly. He likes her. So I trusted that the car
well,
would
he liked you once.
Well, he did. That's true. Now, mind you, he's an attorney.
Ah.
Okay.
So the plot thickens.
So wife number three, you go see her. She seems like a nice person.
And the car seems to be in good shape.
Yeah.
It has the record. She had it she took it in regularly to the Volvo dealership and had it serviced, which
excellent.
I would never do. So I felt like the car was probably all right. I got it home, and it turned out the water pump was bad. So I took it into this man that I had been referred to who was not a Volvo. He's a British car mechanic. He works on old Morgans and MGs and things like that, but he also fixes Volvos.
Okay.
So he looked at the car. He said, okay, you need a new water pump, and while I'm in there, I'll fix the timing chain. So I replaced the timing chain, and I knew from listening to you all that that was a good idea to have that done.
He did that.
He said, the car's in good shape. I took it home, and about 3 months later, it started overheating. And I thought, well, this can't be the water pump. So I took it back to him, and he said, it's probably the sending unit. So he replaced the sending unit.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
it
is
was
the
fine.
Temperature sending unit. So he's suspecting that it isn't really overheating,
right.
But the sending unit is making you think that it's overheating.
It's making the gauge read erroneously.
Right.
Right. And he said if you watch it sometimes, if the gas reading and the heat reading, if the needles are kind of moving in the same direction, it's probably the sending unit. So he replaced it. Well, I drove it around for a few more months. It seemed to be fine. And then it started doing it again out of the clear blue. Mm. And I looked at the sending unit. I looked at the gauge, and it looked like at times the temperature and the gas gauge were just straight across the same. So I thought, okay, maybe it was a bad sending unit. So I took it back in, and he replaced it again.
Mm.
So then I don't know how much time went by, but I was driving up to L.A. to my son's. I drove in bumper-to-bumper traffic from San Diego to L.A. It didn't heat up at all. It was fine. And then
is this the son from your first husband or your second husband?
My first husband. You don't know how many I've had. I've only had two.
Yeah, no, well, I guessed, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
You should know.
Do it again.
I could tell. You know how I could tell, Penny? Because you're a happy person.
Oh.
And the number of husbands or wives you may have isn't going to make any difference to you.
True.
Good for you.
That's me.
Okay, so your son from your first husband.
First husband, right.
You're going up to visit him. Yeah.
Yes, and the car was fine. Mm. Oh, in fact, I was driving up with my other son who kept saying, don't worry about the car, relax. We're going up, have a good time, because I was worried that it was going to overheat. But it didn't.
Now, the other son is also from the first husband?
Yeah, they're both from the first husband.
I suspected that, too.
Okay.
So we drive around L.A. We don't have any trouble. And then we start to drive back to San Diego. And it happens to be a warm day in the San Fernando Valley. And all of a sudden, the car heats up to almost the red.
Yeah.
My son says, don't worry, it's not in the red. It couldn't have heated up that fast. It's probably a false reading. And it didn't overheat. And I made it all the way home. I waited till evening. I went home. Then the next day, it did it again. Then it stopped for maybe another week or two, and it didn't overheat. And being a woman, I keep thinking, oh, okay, it's just going to go away.
I keep thinking that about these terrible pains I've been getting in my chest. It'll go.
They will eventually. Rest
right.
assured.
Now, have
or
you,
rest in peace, or one or the
Penny,
other.
Penny, have you noticed any correlation between the overheating and whether it happens when you're driving in the city or driving on the highway?
It happens when I'm on the freeway.
Yes, I suspected that.
Uh-huh. And it also happens, it happened when I was going up a hill. That was another time.
Yeah.
I suspect that you have a blockage someplace in the cooling system.
Yeah. You've got a real overheating problem.
Or a faulty thermostat.
Yeah.
And he should have changed the thermostat just as a matter of course. Because
He didn't.
He should have done that.
Okay.
And if that didn't solve your problem, then he should take the radiator out and have it flow tested.
Okay.
Because the problem is in one of those two places.
Okay.
It definitely sounds like you have an overheating problem because you've got restriction someplace, probably in the radiator.
Yeah.
That's kind of like an arterial blockage.
Yeah, I know
exactly.
about that.
You need a radioplasty.
Right.
I like that. That's
good luck, Penny.
Thank you.
Say hello to all your husbands, wives, everybody.
Will do.
Sons.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, hey, the Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Feel like the world is on fire? Shortwave is your antidote. We find joy and beauty in the science of the planet we live on, how people are taking action in the face of climate change, the many weird and wonderful ways animals have adapted to a changing world in the past and present, and how technology is pushing us forward. Listen now to the Shortwave Podcast from NPR.
With more and more information coming at you all day, every day, it can be hard to know where to focus. The new Consider This newsletter from NPR can be that focus. Every weekday afternoon, we take one of the day's biggest stories and break it down in a simple, skimmable format so you can get a better grasp of one important topic and what it means for you in a couple of minutes. Sign up for free at npr.org/considerthisnewsletter.
From your car radio to your smart speaker, NPR meets you where you are in a lot of different ways. Now we're in your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
Do you remember last week's Puzzler?
No,
I don't. Old times. Remember.
However, when you ask me this next week, the answer is going to be, of course I do, because look what I got.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Car Talk this Weekly Puzzler Remembering Form.
From Matt Jackson from Rapid City, South Dakota. He sent me these little forms, a whole pad of them.
Oh, you got a whole year's worth here, man.
Notice what it says on there. Just give it back
show
to me.
Show number, key phrase.
Key phrase.
Date, brief synopsis, and probable answer.
Hand it over, man. So, no, I don't remember last week's puzzler, but I'm sure going to remember it next week.
Well, here it is. An older gentleman came into the shop the other day and told me that one day he was driving his car, an old 60s or 70s Chevrolet. I don't remember exactly what it was. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, he's driving along out on the highway when he suddenly hears a noise. Vroom! It feels as if he's driven over something, and he says, jeez! And immediately he feels an incredible vibration coming from the engine. So he slows down to like 5 or 10 miles an hour, and the vibration is still there, but obviously it's reduced because he slowed down. He tries to speed up, and the thing is shaking like crazy. But when he stops and puts the car in park, he opens the hood, and everything looks all right. He can't imagine what could have happened. And
still don't remember it. Must have been a stink old puzzle.
And he sees nothing. He says, hmm. So he makes his way to a gas station.
Hmm.
The gas station attendant looks at it.
And says they all
the engine
do this.
Running, scratches his head and says, geez, I don't know. Shut it off for a second. He then says, aha. Meanwhile, the old guy is in the car and he can't get out because, you know, it's against insurance regulations. And the attendant says, okay, I'm pretty sure I see what's going on here. And he spends about 30 seconds doing something under the hood. But you can't see because he's what?
He's in the car.
He's in the car. At which point, he takes something out of the engine compartment and throws it in the trash. He says, start her up, your vibration is all gone. Sure enough, it is gone. And the old fella asks, well, am I going to make it home all right? The attendant says, oh, I'm pretty sure, if you're not stuck in traffic for too long. Get it fixed when you get a chance.
Really?
Now, the hint was that the car could have been a 60s or a 70s, could have been a 50s, 40s, or 30s, for that matter. But it was unlikely to be a 90s car.
Oh, I remember. This was the...
Wait, I had to get to this point before you remembered it?
No, I remembered it somewhere along the way, and I remembered that I thought I had an answer until you gave that hint, and then my answer was gone.
So, it's unfair of me to ask if you have an answer now, because you're hearing the puzzle for the first time, basically.
For the first time, yeah. I mean, I dismissed it as being a stupid puzzle because I didn't know the answer to it.
Well,
and I might still be able to defend that after you give your answer.
This old car had a fan. Okay.
Mm, ah, fan, that's good.
Metal, a rather massive fan, as fans in those early days were.
Yes, they were.
And as luck would have it, the noise he heard was because one of the blades broke off the fan. Caused the bump sound, like he had driven over something.
Oh.
And by the fact that that blade broke off, it caused the vibration. Because now he had a fan that was running with an odd number of blades. Most of these cars had either four or six blades. What the guy did when he shut the engine off is he
broke off another blade.
He broke off the blade exactly opposite the one that had broken off.
Exactly.
And he said, "You'll make it home all right." Of course, the vibration would be gone because now the fan is balanced.
Well, if as long as you don't get stuck in traffic because you might overheat.
There you go. Was that a great puzzle or what?
It stunk.
I don't get no
respect. The problem is, how in the world did the first blade break off?
It happens all the time.
They all do that.
Just the other day.
Fine.
On. Who's the winner?
All right. We got a winner.
It's not important. It's the academic exercise that we're involved
in here.
That's true.
Okay, the winner. Jeez. The winner this week is Eileen Ward from Eudora, Arkansas. And for knowing her fan blades from a hole in the wall, Eileen will receive her very own copy of The Best of Car Talk, which is available on both CD and cassette. Congratulations, Eileen.
Now, by the way, if your name is not Eileen Ward and you don't have your very own copy of The Best of Car Talk, you can always get one through Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division, whose number is 303-823-8000. More importantly...
Yes!
We have another brand new non-automotive left and right and no-brain puzzle coming up during the second half of today's show, so stay tuned.
Filling in my little form.
This is an historic, folkloric
key phrase.
See, he's missing all
folkloric.
The support stuff. In the meantime, you can call us at 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Karen Booth, and I'm in Metlakatla, Alaska.
Karen, in where? Who? Alaska.
Okay, Metlakatla. It's two islands away from Ketchikan.
Metlakatla.
Yeah, Metlakatla.
Metlakatla, I got it.
It's an island?
Yeah,
we're on a net island.
Sounds like a dietary supplement.
Yeah, is it like blue-green algae?
Well, actually, my problem isn't here in Metlakatla. We go to Ketchikan. It's like a 15-minute round-trip float plane flight, or we have to take the ferry, and a lot of us go over there to do shopping, like at the mall and, you know, the bigger supermarkets or hit the McDonald's.
Oh, really? So Ketchikan is really the hot spot.
Well, yeah, and that's where my problem. I keep a truck over there.
Uh-huh.
And, over here, you know, we have the truck and the van because I got five boys, so we have to have that. But I keep a little truck over there, too. And lately when I've just bought this thing, December maybe. So I've only been over a few times and driven it, what, 8 or 10 times?
Yeah.
And I don't know it that well. It's an 87 Ford Ranger. It's a manual. It has a little canopy on the back and a stick shift, which I don't think has anything to do with this, but who knows. Lately, when I back up, like in a parking lot or something, I would stop because I hear this noise back there, and I didn't know it was me. And it's embarrassing because it starts, it goes, woo, like that. And so I kept stopping and looking around and waiting for them to go by, and there was nothing, right? No, nobody by. So I went, what is that? So finally, and I thought nobody could hear it but me, so even if it was my truck, right, who cares because I could ignore it, right?
Yeah.
Well, some little 10-year-old kid was looking at me funny in the parking lot of a grocery store the last time I was over there, and I thought, I better get it fixed. Find out if it's going to be expensive. Would you happen to know what that is?
So it only happens when you're backing up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't say when I'm going fast or slow because, you know, you're backing out of a parking spot, can't be going that fast.
But you don't hear it at all. As soon as you begin moving forward, the sound disappears entirely.
Oh, yeah, that's why I thought it wasn't me, you know, I just ignored it. I was over there twice for two trips, driving everywhere and hearing this and thinking, what is that?
Is it really loud?
Yeah. I never heard anything like that in a vehicle before.
Never heard anything.
And you think it's coming from the back? You don't know.
It sounds like it. That's why I said it has a canopy, but it's a little truck. Well, what can you have back there? It goes,
not
woo,
much.
Just that perfect tone like that.
Ooh. Oh, so it really sounds like a hum just like that? It's not like a grinding?
No grinding. I thought it was something else or somebody else. I kept stopping and waiting.
Is it a B-flat just like...
I don't know. I'm embarrassed to make that sound, but it goes... It's goes kind of high-pitched up there and stays right there, and then it's...
How long does the thing sit between the times you drive it?
Oh, geez. You know something? It's been terribly frozen over there, too. Does that have anything to do with it?
I doubt it.
Okay, the longest it sat between the time I drove it, I think, was a month, maybe a month and a half. And the soonest I drive it is, every week or two, I might go over for a day, but usually every couple weeks.
Did it make this noise when you first bought it?
Nope.
Ah,
you bought it from someone that had been using it every day.
Well, yeah, I think they had been using it every day. And as a matter of fact, it's not a Ketchikan body either. I mean, the truck was from down south. So it wasn't all rusty or old or icky. And I think, and when I tell you this, the reason I'm saying Ketchikan is like 25 miles an hour everywhere. Same thing on this island, 20 miles an hour is a speed limit.
Good.
So down there, they got the highway driving. It was an okay truck. And I think some older people had it that maybe used to travel.
And you did back it up before you bought it.
Maybe not.
I backed it up.
You did, and it didn't make this noise until after it had been sitting there in the snow buried.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I suspect that the noise is rather benign. And what I think is going on, I'm going to take a guess that when you park it, wherever it is that you park it, you apply the emergency brake.
Yes.
You do?
Yes. It's a habit, even if I'm not on a hill.
Yeah, good. That's excellent.
And I suspect that...
Because my brother would have never been able to come up with idea number two on this one.
No, I wasn't even working on idea
even
number
working.
Two.
Because if you had said, no, I never use the
parking brake... We would have said,
brake.
What a pleasure it is talking to you, Karen.
Then there was hope.
Can I please ask you something about the emergency brake? My husband and I have fought about this for years.
Yeah.
I told him that as a habit, you are supposed to use emergency brakes. And he said, well, I don't do it. My dad doesn't use it. And I said, you know, you're using the gear of park as a brake then. The brake is the brake.
Well.
So he says park is good enough.
Well, there's a tremendous controversy here, as you can see, between just your father.
Groundswell.
His father, you, us. First of all, there's a difference between park and in the case of this Ranger, you've got a manual transmission, so you don't have park, right?
Yeah.
You have gear.
Right.
You have to leave it in gear.
You have to leave it in gear.
Yes, I do. I leave it in gear and put on the brake, too. Even
right.
if we're on flat, and I mean, you know, nothing could happen. I just do.
But that's what's making a noise. The emergency brake is hanging up so that when you release the mechanism inside, it doesn't completely release from the wheels, and... Why is it making the noise only in reverse? I don't know, but if you went forward first, it might easily make the noise going forward, too. And then after you've driven it a little bit, everything frees up and it's okay. The next time you should try, perhaps, it also could be coming from the buildup of rust on the brake drums.
You know what?
And what you're hearing is the drum resonating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like the
which means what? Not expensive?
You know the noise you get.
It all means not expensive. It might mean zero.
If you took a fine china glass,
he likes it,
and filled it with water and rubbed a moistened finger around the rim, you'd get that singing. The woo.
That same tone. You're right.
That's what you're getting from
flat.
The brake drum.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm not worried about it.
As long as you park it on a level surface, next time try leaving it in gear with the handbrake off.
I think you might be right because when I bought it from her, she said, you know, when you release the handbrake, she said, you do have to pull up the pedal on the inside with your foot because it doesn't go all the way up by itself. And I thought I was real careful to pull it all the way up.
Yeah, it's not releasing from inside.
Well, I'm really relieved.
For your other question, you are right that you ought to get into the habit of using the handbrake. Men typically don't do that. And the only caveat I would offer is that living in Alaska... In Metacatahula, wherever you live there, where there's lots of snow and slush and things, sometimes you have to be careful about using the parking brake because it freezes and then you'll never get out of where you are.
That happened to my van here, and I was stuck in the middle of the street, and my husband had to come out and pop it or do something.
I mean,
to
if
it,
there
so.
Aren't a lot of hills, which I suspect there aren't, because better that you should get used to it, and then once in a while it should freeze, then you forget to use it, and you roll down a hill.
We should conduct an on-air survey. I bet you that most men don't use the emergency brake.
Yeah, I will.
Just like most men don't floss. How many men do you know that floss, Karen?
That do floss? Not too many.
Not too many.
I'm the one that nags on that, too.
Yeah.
But you know, with him, I just say, you know, with your truck, you do what you want. With my van, please use the brake, because it's my van. And the little Ford Ranger, I'm glad I didn't want to get rid of it because it's got enough seats for the twins, for all the little, you know, and in the back, it's got a little...
You're going to have it forever.
How old are you, Karen? About like 18 and 19? Oh, you already have five kids?
I'm 38.
Oh.
No, I have five. My license plate says Boys R Us. I've got five boys.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling,
so
Karen.
I didn't want to get rid of that truck. Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new puzzler after these messages.
What does it sound like to record an album inside a jail? On the documentary podcast, Track Change, you'll hear four men make music inside Richmond City Jail and hear how they're trying to break free from a cycle of addiction and incarceration.
Been so long since I've been free.
Listen to Track Change from Narratively and VPM, part of the NPR network.
From the campaigns to the conventions, from now through Election Day and beyond, the NPR Politics Podcast has you covered. As Joe Biden and Donald Trump square off again, we bring you the latest news from the trail and dive deep into each candidate's goals for a second term. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast every weekday.
There's a lot to stay on top of on any given day. You might have to break things down into smaller pieces in order to keep up. That's why we're introducing the new Consider This newsletter from NPR. Every weekday, we sift through all the day's news and bring you one big story in an easily skimmable format, so you become a mini expert on a major topic each day. Sign up for free at npr.org/considerthisnewsletter.
Numbers that explain the economy. We love them at The Indicator from Planet Money. And on Fridays, we discuss indicators in the news, like job numbers, spending, the cost of food, sometimes all three.
So my indicator is about why you might need to bring home more bacon to afford your eggs. I'll be here all week.
Wrap up your week and listen to the Indicator podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and miscellaneous Magliozzi mumblings.
This is just a couple of little snippets here. One letter. One paragraph each. I was infuriated by the item that you read last week on your show about the government sending vowels to Bosnia. This is typical of the fact that the people in Washington seem to care more about the needs of foreigners than its own citizens. Don't they realize there are many, many people, even entire neighborhoods in the United States, that are in dire need of vowels themselves? Rather than sending our hard-earned vowels overseas, the government should first take care of the needs of those at home. Sincerely, Zbigniew Brzezinski. That was one. And this one was on America Online. Subject, the nephew. So, any word on whether the nephew of Click and Clack is good-looking? Is the waiter job a night gig to supplement his already huge income as a stockbroker? Because let's face it, there's nothing better than a great guy that comes with meat tied around his neck. Imagine the savings on groceries.
Well, he is a great-looking guy, if I do say so myself.
He is a pretty good-looking guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his problem? This is a basic problem, then.
Must be his personality.
There you go. All right, it's time for the new puzzler, and I had threatened everyone on the staff here to use this puzzler a long time ago, and I never quite got the courage to use it, only because there were conflicting answers. Uh-huh. But I've thrown caution to the wind.
Yeah.
And I've decided to use it anyway.
Go ahead.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Wait a minute, I gotta put key phrase, dark and stormy night.
It was, the year was 1415, October. 1415.
October, yeah.
You writing this down?
I'm filling out my Car Talk reminder kit.
I can't concentrate on the mission at hand here. If
yeah,
I have
which
to
is
be...
obfuscation. Yeah.
Here it is. Mm-hmm. Earlier in that year, Henry V of England had invaded France because he thought he was heir to the... He was a claimant to the French throne, and he invaded France with a force of men. These are the good old days when the king actually went to fight with his own soldiers. They lost a lot of kings before they figured out, stay home, you stove venture.
No, if the king decides to fight, the king deserves to die. Absolutely right. This is how it ought to be done, even now.
Anyway,
yeah.
After spending many months there, and unsuccessful, I might add, at seizing the country of France, they decide to take themselves back to England. And besides, they were hungry and they'd been weakened by disease and they were in dire need of fish and chips.
They were fed up with the damn French, too.
and they couldn't stand the French. And they decide to go to Calais, where they're going to hitch a boat ride to merry old England.
How are you going
to
turn this into a puzzler? Go ahead. I know you can do it.
Anyway, they're cut off by the French.
Oh.
And Henry V tries to sue for peace. I don't want to fight. And they say, tough, you're fighting. The French, who are commanded by a guy named D'Albret, have a force of about 25,000. And Henry V has got about 6,000 guys. And the French are convinced that they're done for. That the Brits are done for.
The Brits are done for, sure. They got them outnumbered 4-1.
Moreover,
yeah,
they claim when the battle is over,
yeah,
that they will take the British soldiers that haven't been killed and they will remove a certain parts of their bodies.
Oh.
So that they might never be able to fight again.
No kidding.
Well, it turns out that the battle was preceded by heavy rains, and the French troops were at a disadvantage because they were in a valley and they were weighted down by their heavy armor, and the tactics of the British soldiers were superior, and the Brits won.
No kidding.
Yes, they did indeed. They did indeed. They won a decisive battle, and in fact, D'Albret and several of his dukes and counts and about 500 other members of the French nobility were killed in the battle. And needless to say, there were no parts of anyone's bodies cut off by the French army.
Yeah.
And when the battle was over, the victorious British displayed...
I'm shocked!
displayed what was to have been cut off
as a
way of showing their derision.
As
a way of showing their derision for the French.
Yeah.
For their would-be conquerors. We still got it, man.
Yeah.
And what is this? What were they brandishing?
Yes.
It is a popular symbol, probably known to most adults and even some children.
Wow. And it all comes back. What is this?
The Battle of Agincourt.
Agincourt. How would you spell that?
Just Agincourt.
Agincourt. Oui.
So at the Battle of Agincourt, the French were unsuccessful. They didn't cut off anything off the British soldiers' bodies. And the British, in fact...
Sneered at them
and flashed those things which were to have been cut off.
Whew.
And there's a very popular symbol.
Yes. Well, this is certainly folkloric, historic, and all the other orics. Whoops. Very good.
So the question is very simply, what is that symbol?
What is the symbol?
That arose from that battle.
Yeah. And why were they going to cut it off?
Yes.
That's important, too. Well, that would be part C.
Right. And why were they going to cut off these things?
Yeah.
Sounds bad, doesn't it?
Does.
And if you were going to cut something off, would you have picked these things?
No.
Now, if you think you know the answer, or you have time at work to spend, working on this,
yeah,
write that answer on the back of a postcard and send it to us here at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA 022-38. And if we choose your correct answer at random and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of The Best of Car Talk on cassette or CD. And that recently topped the New York Times Best Left in Sellers list, I believe.
Yes, it was.
So what's next, Tommy?
Okay, it's time to play Stump the Chumps.
Stump the Chumps is where our crack staff picks a former Car Talk caller at random, and we call them back to follow up to see if we gave the right answer.
And for obvious reasons, this is my brother's least favorite part of the show. But anyway, who is today's contestant?
Today's contestant is Leland from Atlanta.
Leland from Atlanta! Who's Leland from Atlanta?
Well, Leland drives an 87 Celica that was losing power. And with the Olympics coming to Atlanta this year, he was afraid that he would have the guy with the Olympic torch stuck behind him going up a hill and it embarrassed the entire country.
Oh, I remember this. Leland from Atlanta. It's coming back to me.
I got out of Georgia. I started noticing that there were some problems. The car wouldn't pull a hill. Made it through the night, basically riding in the emergency lane, and with my flashes on.
Wait, it wouldn't do what?
It wouldn't pull a hill.
What does that mean?
A downhill, I'm a demon. I mean, I'm a bad
hill.
Man
pull a hill.
Oh, it couldn't pull a hill. Oh,
couldn't pull a hill.
When you started with this discussion, my brother was busy looking at the bottom of his shoe, trying to figure out what you were talking about.
We don't use that expression, pull a hill.
Pull a hill.
I never heard that before. I remember pulling a heel. As I also remember, our first guess was that it was the catalytic converter.
And he said, been there, done that.
Right. So after bumbling around, I think we suggested that he start with a compression test, check the valve timing, and if the results were bad, we said he should pay a visit to the showroom.
Right. So do we have Leland on the phone?
Leland on the phone.
Leland, how the hell are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Even in spite of myself in that little freaking car, right?
Now, before we ask you what has transpired since our phone call, we have to first confirm that we have not spoken since that call, have we?
You and I, we have not talked.
And you have not been offered any money or tote bags by National Public Radio?
I'm still checking the mail, but it hasn't nothing's come through yet.
And you haven't been visited by any of our relatives in an attempt to influence your answer here, have you?
Well, there was a guy who came in the door and said, hey, what you doing here?
All right.
He looked like he had cotton in his mouth or something. I shut the door. I thought it was I don't know.
So look, did you check the compression?
Well, our situation was that I told my shade tree mechanic, I said, you know, first thing you need to do here is check compression and timing.
Yeah.
And in that order, he, of course, checked timing belt first.
Yeah.
All right. So what he did was we checked the timing belt, and I must say you guys were dead on the money.
Get out.
The timing belt was warped, literally. I mean,
hey! Another right answer! This is the second one this year.
Well, you guys are definitely batting a thousand. The only problem is that when we had found out that the timing belt had warped, with all the the steel usage with the car, compression and everything else had fallen off. In other words, the timing belt was the catalyst to much more than a normal head.
So you fixed it and everything is right with the world.
I would like to say that, but you know what? I tell you. I talked to my shade tree mechanic, and after we found it was a timing belt, he replaced that. Did the car run any better? No.
Uh-oh!
Oh, yeah, we got the book. But you guys have been great. Your advice was definitely right on the money. Thanks so much.
Million.
I appreciate you.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Well, the Stump the Chumps is good enough, but the Olympics are saved. We're saved.
That's right. Let's remember the larger purpose here.
That's right.
See you, Leland.
Thanks so much, guys.
I mean, did he stump the chumps or didn't he? I think he did.
It's still a matter of speculation whether or not there's wrong with it. But it's in his backyard now. It'll never run again, thankfully. Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Punkin' Lips Berman. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Ed Grimley Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Travelin' Leisure Loeb.
Where's she going?
Stump the Chumps theme is by B.J. Lederman. And our technical advisor is John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Who Laughs, Donut Breath, 2 gigabytes, 3 gigabytes, make that 3 triple cheeseburgers Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. Our jazz music coordinator is Bertha DeBlues. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. The design of our casual clothing line is No Tie. Woo.
Woo.
Our director of country music is Stan Byron. Our online expert is Cy Burnett. The chairman of our underemployment study group is Art Majors. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our director of sports information is Linus Crimmage. Our producer's office is furnished by Rick Kleiner. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey. Noted on Harvard Square is Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening, and we're Click and Clack, the Tablet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. If you find yourself in desperate need of a cassette copy of this week's show, which is show number 12, all you have to do is call Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division at 303-823-8000.
You can also order the Best of Car Talk at that very same number, 303-823-8000. And that Best of Car Talk comes with our Dewey, Cheatham & Howe unconditional money-back guarantee. We guarantee that you won't get your money back under any conditions.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though sophisticated listeners do a double take when they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Every weekday, NPR's best political reporters come to you on the NPR Politics Podcast to explain the big news coming out of Washington, the campaign trail, and beyond. We don't just want to tell you what happened, we tell you why it matters. Join the NPR Politics Podcast every single afternoon to understand the world through political eyes.
On the TED Radio Hour, in the middle school cafeteria, Tai Toshiro always sat with his equally nerdy buddies.
The socially awkward kids who were the furthest thing from cool.
And he often wondered,
why am I so socially awkward and what am I going to do about that?
Now Tai is a psychologist and expert on awkwardness, and he has some answers. That's on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Former President Trump is in serious legal trouble. And at the same time, he wants his old job back. It's a really big story, but with different trials in multiple states, plea deals, testimony, gag orders, it's also really hard to follow. So we created Trump's Trials, a new NPR podcast where we break down the big news from each case and talk about what it means for democracy in weekly episodes. I'm Scott Detrow. Check out Trump's Trials from NPR.